This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning, this is Computer Talk. I am Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Bob's Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs here at TAB, and he helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. I do want to say one thing. I did hear on the morning show, back on Wednesday, I think, Ray and Brian had a guest on talking about Governor Lamont's new proposal to make broadband internet more accessible to Connecticut residents. You know, on the face of it, that sounds great. There's a few things that he's going to try to change so that it'll be easier for competition to come into Connecticut. Now, being a cynic of government that I am, we'll see what happens with this. A lot of it has to do with PURA and the requirements and the limitations and the weird roadblocks that are put in place to keep competitors out or off our polls. You know, I've talked about poll neutrality kind of jokingly, but the issue is access to our polls and access to our underground conduits, which I really should have continued to talk about as well, because if you can't have access to those polls and conduits, you can't add additional fiber service to the folks of Connecticut. I mean, internet in 2021 should be as abundant as there are garbage collection services in Southington. Literally in my neighborhood, there are probably five different pickups from different companies in Southington, and they all pick up garbage, you know, and garbage is ubiquitous, right? We all got garbage. We should all have the same problem with internet. I should have so many internet choices. They should all be fighting over my ability to pay them for internet service. But no, I got two poor choices. The third one's coming in with GoNetSpeed, but they'll never get to my conduits. So I'm barely going to get any access to it myself, and that's not good. There shouldn't be any roadblocks. So I want to praise the governor if this is truly something he's going to do. Sometimes the government just kind of says it, and that's all that's necessary. Hey, I'm saying it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of roadblocks. But let's hope that this really does come to fruition, and we can reduce the ridiculous barriers to access to the polls that even PURA is helping to block. I mean, there are municipalities who want to put up municipal internet, which I would contend is not necessarily as good as a private company. But even PURA was happy to block that too, make it difficult for those municipalities to have access to their municipal gain, is what it's called. It's about a foot on the pole that they set aside, and they've said, sorry, you can't have access to your pole space, even though it was set aside so you could have access to your pole space. I mean, it's crazy. But let's see if our governor really is going to do this. Adding competition really is the solution. Make it easier to build the fiber. Running wires, we're pretty good at that, right? I mean, we've got it down to a science.
Well, you know.
Shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, well, you got to have a politician in the way.
Yeah. So I want to praise the governor if this is the case, and if it really, really happens, wonderful. So let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Mark in Bristol next. Let's go, Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm up to 42 questions. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Just kidding.
I know. Oh,
by the way, speaking of the governor, while I was on hold, I did a little bit of research, and I found that it's been getting cold for at least 200 years in the winter. I'm still working on it, though.
Uh-oh, we gotta raise taxes because of climate change.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It may be climate change. Who knows? But it's been at least 200.
Yeah.
Second.
I mean, it's a new day every day. When I heard he was surprised by it, I was like, okay.
I'm flabbergasted. Now, the reason I'm calling, just quickly, I called you guys last week. I had that failed SD card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you recommended Photo Rescue.
Yeah, did it work?
It was wonderful. Downloaded an eval copy, free,
yeah.
And it would show you if you did have data, which I did, and paid the $29 only, and within 15 minutes I had about 500 photos back.
Wonderful. So you're back out of the doghouse, as it were, huh?
yeah, a lot of documents, too, that I didn't have backed up, so I want to thank you guys for that suggestion, and I was about to just break the card in a vice.
Yep.
You know?
All right. Well, good, good. I'm good. I'm glad it worked for you, Mark. Good news.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Take care. You're welcome. Bye-bye. That's good news. Yeah, it's nice to hear that some of the advice we give is helpful.
Another happy customer.
Yes. We got to remember to get his credit card next time. let's go on to Joe in Farmington next. What's going on? I'm sorry, Jim. Jim in Farmington. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
My question is around webcams, and I'm looking to purchase a new one, so I'm trying to understand, and I just want to make sure I'm heading in the right direction. So I know, like many of us, we're all working from home. I happen to use WebEx. My company uses WebEx and Microsoft Teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see a lot of people on there that are using their webcam that's integrated with their laptop, and the quality is, well, it's not that great. So, and I do presentations, and what I'm looking to see is I have a webcam that's old. It's like 3 to 5 years old. It just says Microsoft HD on it. It has a microphone in it, which I don't use. I just use the webcam, but it's nice because you plug it in USB, you can move it around and angle it. But you know, I see a lot of 4K, a lot of higher quality, better webcams available on the market. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm not sure about, what I'm hoping you can help me with, is it really worth the money to upgrade to that level? Like, is it typical that you would see a difference from HD to either 4K or anything like that on a WebEx or an MS Teams? And if so, is that dependent on my internet connection or like what the company is allowing to be passed through?
All right. Yeah, good question. So if you look at our Facebook Live, I'm using a 4K, like a $2,000 camera, right? This is a crazy camera we've just had here at Tab forever. It's a 4K camera. And it's going through the Facebook Live, but it's being processed by a tool that's capturing the video. And it's really only going to be sent out if I'm, for you guys, it would be thankful, hopefully less than 1080p, right? You don't want to see Bob and I in high definition, I don't think. Right? I mean, maybe our wives do, but even that's questionable.
I don't want to see me in low definition.
Yeah, right. So basically, as you process the signal through these different technologies, just because your camera can do it doesn't mean it's going to be sent out in that high definition. So I would contend you don't need any kind of 4K this or that for a Zoom call. You know, Logitech, as far as I'm concerned, is the leader of good quality webcams. And I would tell you to not spend too much money. I think you could probably get a good one for less than $100. The issue is now COVID. Everybody is needing a webcam. And right. So trying to get one is difficult. I've had a really old crappy one that's starting to fail that I've had here for probably 15 years. It looks really, again, for a geek on Zoom, looks fine. It really comes down to what you're trying to do. But high definition, all that data, it gets throttled, I would contend, by the software and by the servers. They are not interested in sending a 4K video of you through their server. That's a pretty big file.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at these webcams ranging from $40 to, basically an up.
Yeah.
But you don't need all that high def because, you know, you're going to be restricted somewhere along the line.
Right.
Yeah, I looked at Logitech and I did see a few. You know, obviously the push is 4K, and you're right. And that's where I was thinking, well, it's kind of like everything else. If I have a 4K TV, that's great. But if the signal's not coming in 4K, it doesn't really matter. And I thought, was it dependent on my internet and what I'm able to connect to or because I'm working from home versus in the office, or is it what they use?
But it's everything.
So it's all combined. Yeah, I think a couple $100 maybe for, you know, like less than $200, I think I should get a good high quality. Would you agree with that?
You will get a really high quality camera, but again, I don't think you need to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, I'm using a Logitech that probably costs around 60 or 70, 80 bucks. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's clear as a bell.
Right. And he's not wearing his glasses when he's looking at it, but that's
okay. Yeah, I am now.
Just kidding.
So much.
I appreciate
how you put everything in easy terms. So thank you.
You're welcome, Bob. I'm sorry, Jim. The issue too with the actual broadcast speeds is if you have a really slow internet connection and you try to broadcast a Netflix video, let's say at 4K, you can see the pixelization as the caching starts to build in your streaming device, right? Because it's trying to get all that data and cache it up.
Well, I've noticed on Netflix that when it seems like there's not enough bandwidth on the neighborhood because I know I got enough.
Oh, boy.
But it automatically decreases the resolution.
But if you've got enough, then it's your streamer device that's doing it.
Right.
That's what's causing your issue. So good luck, Jim.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's go on to Bob in East Hartford. What's going on, Bob?
Good morning, guys. Say, in past programs, you've alerted us that there's a possibility of hackers getting into our car computers.
Oh, yeah.
And that has me concerned, because every once in a while, there's a safety message that comes up that takes up the entire screen. And, for instance, I have one right now about keeping your eyes on the road and not taking your eyes and to work on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you can make that message disappear is by hitting OK. Now, the thing is, if you hit OK...
You're taking the eyes off the road.
Well, no, not that. It's, oh. Am I introducing a hacker, possibly?
Oh, no,
that's
no.
my concern.
No, you're not. but I like the more funny part of it. You're taking your eyes off the road to hit okay.
That's true.
But so, yes, there's going to be more car hacking that's going to occur. Tesla is really battling it. We have a CNET article we can put up here talking about the fact that, again, medical devices, cars, all of our devices are becoming computers, right? And unfortunately, IT geeks never think of security first. They think of how can I make it work first, and they figure out how I can more easily make it work so that you can pretty much do nothing to make it work. And then they think about security once they find their car has been hacked and is, you know, having issues with its wiper blades or whatever they've connected to the computer. The key is that you have, you know, you should look at some of the types of cars that are out there that are having this issue. If your car is just one that's, you know, maybe a 2016, 2015 vintage.
It's 2019.
Probably, okay, yeah. So you got a lot more technology in it than most. You would want to do some research on the possibility of the software you have being hacked. The other issue, too, is the people working on the cars, right? They can introduce backdoors or technologies. I mean, who knows where these hacks are going to come from? Are they going to come from inside or outside?
Well, just give you an example. This message that I have, even though you turn the car off uh-huh. and start it the next day, the message is still there. It never disappears. It's, in fact, I've been testing it, and it's been there for a week and a half now.
Okay, so you have an issue like my wife and I have on our Honda minivan, where every now and again you have to reboot the system, and the car won't even fully turn off because the OS on the minivan is kind of all screwed up. It sounds like you have an issue with your car system, and you may have to bring it to the dealer and have them look at why it's stuck in that message. Or maybe it's just forcing you to hit that OK button.
Well,
have you touched it?
I believe that's my understanding, is if I hit OK, it'll go away.
Hit OK. You have my permission.
I could be introducing a hacker.
No. Bob, we've got you too scared about computers, and I'm sorry if we are any part of that. Please hit OK. It's OK to hit OK.
Oh, it is. OK. Hey, guys. I listen to you guys every
week. I know. That's what I'm worried about.
I listen to your every word here. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, but I hope we haven't frightened you about computers too much to the point that you won't hit OK on your own car. That's what I'm worried about. I feel bad about that if we have.
Okay.
But you're OK to hit OK. We give
Thank
you permission.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bob.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break and contemplate our lives. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we're back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock, and everything we've talked about has been posted live. I do have a Roadshow article that I posted per Bob's call there. Is it okay to hit okay? Poor Bob. A new study shows just how bad vehicle hacking has gotten, and this is a new study put out in 2019, so you can read about automotive cyber hack security studies. It's going to be a bigger problem. Hopefully car safety will improve as we all have, as 5G network becomes a real thing. And we're all able to connect as packets on the highway where my car knows where your car is. I was on vacation in Florida just recently and I got sideswiped by a woman who literally merged into my lane. I was just minding my own business going straight and she went right into me. Like I'm driving a big van. You didn't see me. Clearly she was on her phone. But if the car was smart enough to know my car was there, it wouldn't have allowed her to do it. And yeah. That's the promise of 5G, I hope, someday. We'll see. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Lewis in Morris. Sorry. Hey, Lewis, you there?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I love your show, first-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
And I have a little bit of a dilemma. I sent you a detailed email.
Uh-oh.
Don't know whether you got it or not, but here's the story.
Yeah.
I'm building a new PC, water-cooled PC, with the ASUS Prime 500 motherboard and the Ryzen the processor.
Mm-hmm.
Working out fantastic.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I am locked into Windows 10 with that motherboard. It will not accept anything else.
Okay.
I have tried and tried to put Windows 7 on it. I love 7. It's simple, just like I am.
Yeah.
Now, I've been using Windows Mail since the days of Vista, and I love it. And when Windows 7 came along, we found a way of just copying the Windows Mail folder from the Vista program files and put it into the Windows 7, and it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now going into Windows 10, I thought, well, let me try it.
No.
I tried all these different email programs. I don't like them.
Sure.
Now, in Windows 10, they still have a Windows Mail folder. It was only a couple of files on there. So I took the folder from Windows 7, put it on my thumb drive, and all the files were there, including WinMail EXE.
Mm-hmm.
I put the thumb drive into the Windows 10 machine, and the WinMail EXE disappears. I can carry all the folders from the thumb drive into the folder on Windows 10 that says Windows Mail, but I can't get the EXE.
Right.
Now, I have changed to show hidden files.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't get it.
It won't work anyways, I don't think, even if you get it over there. Just because you want to run an old program doesn't mean Microsoft's going to let you.
I know.
So the old days of being able to move programs in that fashion pretty much ended with like XP, where you could just copy the program folder and have it exist and then run the XE and have it go. There's a lot of DLLs, dynamic link libraries, that are built into the operating system that are going to allow or disallow programs to work. And a Vista-based mail program is not going to live very well in a 10 environment, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Well, it's worth a try.
Sure, yeah. Hey,
yeah.
You're building your own water-cooled processor-based system. You try anything you want, but I don't think it'll work.
There are other mail applications that you can download and use if you want,
yeah,
besides Windows Mail.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
There are other applications you can download and purchase or for free that you can use in lieu of Windows Mail.
I have tried them. I tried the Mozilla Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit too complicated. I couldn't even get my old contacts over to it. I did download the 2012 version of Essentials, and mm-hmm. that still works on Windows 10.
Hey, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah, and in that is Windows Live Mail. Now, that's the closest that I can get to the Windows Mail that I like in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But for some odd reason, I cannot export my messages
contacts. Yeah, again, they may not be compatible or compatible to be ingested.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
A ton.
So you're going to have to either conform.
No.
Well, as the song goes, subdivisions, you're going to be dealing with the old mail or no mail. But I hear you, Lewis. I appreciate your problem.
Okay,
not much you can do.
Okay, I will. I've tried a lot. I'm even willing to pay for a a good email program, but I can't really find any. Any suggestions?
Outlook. Outlook would be the one I would recommend as the best, most professional, most, it's well done.
What is the name of it?
Outlook, Microsoft Outlook.
Oh, Outlook.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's on the Essentials.
Then you're good. Good to go. Use that.
I mean, I'll try that.
All right, Liz.
Guys, thank you very much. I love your program.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Have
we'll be right
day.
Back,
Bye.
Guys. Bye. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And that tune is Subdivisions, Conformer Be Cast Out. The last caller was talking about being forced to run Windows 10, and Mike G, the guy who posts everything for us live while we're doing this show, had a good point I didn't think of, and thank you, Mike, for bringing it up. He could virtualize his Windows 7. So if that caller, I think it was Lewis, right? Lewis from Morris. If that caller is smart enough to build his own machine, which he seems to be able to do, the next step would be to try to put a virtualized version of Windows 7 on Windows 10. So you can run Windows 10 and create a virtual area of that operating system where you load Windows 7. Not saying everything's going to work. It's, you know, some things may not work. But it's a way to try if you really, really want to see if you can stick it to the man, Windows 10, and say, I want to run Windows 7. You might be able to do it using a virtual instance on top of that Windows 10 operating system. So thank Mike G for bringing that up very much so. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Ben and Meriden next. What's going on, Ben? You there, Ben?
Hello.
Hello.
Yep.
What's up?
Well, my question is on wireless routers.
Yeah.
I noticed that some of the new ones now are doing AX, and even some of them have built-in security, like Trend Micro, and some of them even have VPN.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted your thoughts on that, because I was trying to upgrade my router so I have a little bit more parental control and be able to keep my kids out of trouble, and when they're not behaving, kind of shut them down.
I love it. I love it very much. I don't know that I'd care too much about the built-in antivirus components. I wouldn't really mess with that. I'd be more focused on the quality of the broadcast, you know, how good of a wireless router is it, and even the speeds. You don't need that much speed to stream. You don't need that much speed to do a whole thing. You're gonna hardwire things that you really need performance out of. You know, if you want a good gaming experience, you're gonna try to hardwire that gaming console so it gets the fastest connection. Anyways, so yeah. I would just tell you to focus on, you know, is it good at managing wireless connections? Is it going to give you a nice dedicated stream of wireless signal, which is that MIMO technology? Is it a good mesh system? So if you added additional access points, will it seamlessly mesh with your wireless router? Those are the things I'd have you focus on, not the Trend or any of that junk they throw in there. And make sure you configure OpenDNS. So along with the ability to control your router's configuration so that you can block certain devices, like, you know, little Timmy's phone gets turned off whenever you push a button, which is really cool, right? You can do it by MAC address, giving you that power. You want to also control what they go to, and you can do it really well with OpenDNS rather than having your firewall try to be the traffic cop, which can be slow because it's got to manage all those packets. A lot of businesses try to do this too in our client base, and we've obviously fixed them, and they don't do that on our client base. When that router is trying to be the traffic cop of controlling web filtering, it just slows down your bandwidth now. It slows down the performance of your router. And if you can put it outside the router using OpenDNS and have that proxy outside your router be the control, you're going to get all your bandwidth. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And don't buy too much bandwidth. Make sure you keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I also have Cox, so I'm dealing with that whole going over.
Data cap. Yeah. It's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like an electric bill in Connecticut.
Yeah, well, I did go to that what was it, OpenNet or GoNet.
Oh, you went, you moved over to GoNetSpeed?
Well, no, it's not available. So you got to just sign up, and hopefully you get enough people in the area to sign up, and then I guess they will show up.
Yep. Tell your friends.
No problem.
Tell your neighbors.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you recommend the, what is it, the Wi-Fi 5 or the 6 or...
Does it really matter? It doesn't really matter that much. I mean, 5G, you know, it's good for higher speed connections really close by when you're really near the device. But the 2.4 gigahertz band is plenty of bandwidth for most streaming that you're going to do. It's better for distance anyways. There is a 6th gen that's coming out, I've read. You know, again, if the device has got, it's going to focus on good quality wireless broadcast, it's good to be more future prone, right? So if you're looking more forward, as you change out your phones and your devices, they could take advantage of that 6th gen technology, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I would say, you know, try to find yourself in a couple $100 price range for a good quality router, and don't worry about the security tools they quote unquote throw in there. Just worry about how good of a router it can be versus, you know, antivirus stuff. You should do all that outside of the router.
So I guess my last question would be, is there any that you recommend?
We've linked, we put some links out there for Linksys. Those are good routers. ASUS makes some good routers. Be careful looking online for these router comparisons. I mean, I've even seen recently, like, trusted places. I'm looking for like virus software comparisons, and they're starting to recommend Kaspersky again and all this kind of stuff, and it's like, who's paying them to recommend a Russian antivirus to put on your system? I mean, I'm nothing against Russians, they're fine, but I don't want a Russian company protecting my system. So I'm really you got to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. I tell you to do some research and look around as far as what other folks are recommending for best routers at the time. I've got a Linksys that I'm very happy with so far. It's got its own issues, and we've posted it a few times. But that one's like a $300 router that I got through committee pretty easily somehow. I don't know how I did it, but she approved. And, you know, you may not need that type of router. Depends how big your home is, how much area you have to cover, you know, how many square feet.
I think it's around 1,200. It's a raised ranch, so it's not a lot.
Oh, you're fine then, yeah. You can get puppy.
I got the computer and the Xbox hardwired for the kids, so they got their speed there for their gaming.
Good job.
Just, you know, on the far side, having, you know, the wife watching the Fire Stick.
Right. Not so good at sometimes with that, right?
I haven't really heard her complain too much.
Oh, good. So you can get away with a much less expensive router because you don't need to broadcast that far in that that amount of square feet.
Yeah, no, I'm more looking because I did buy a Netgear not that long ago, and it had, you know, the app, but then they went to the newer app for the newer, I guess, the Nighthawks. And it kind of removed my ability to do parental control.
This is, again, planned obsolescence, forced obsolescence. And that's, again, why you tell the router companies to pound sand and say, I'm going to do my parental control with OpenDNS outside your router. Right?
Yeah.
So they damaged your ability to do what you used to be able to do by updating the iOS. I mean, that's awful. You know, why are they taking away that technology? You had it. It worked. They broke it. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not cool, and that's why you need to segment these things so that you still have power where they can't mess with it. You know, you put it on OpenDNS. Now you can do all the parental control. You can't do the MAC address technology that I alluded to, but at least you can tell your kids they can't go to the inappropriate sites.
Yeah. All righty, thank you.
All right, Ben. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye bye. Yeah, in this day and age of access to the internet,
I forget the guy's name. Earlier caller about the virtual machines.
Yeah, Lewis from Morris.
So I found a link how he can install a virtual Windows 7 machine using Hyper-V, because most of the other links have a third-party software.
Okay.
You know, like VirtualBox, something like that.
Yep. But so we've given you an opportunity, thanks to Mike G, coming up with that idea. Very good. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We're here till 11. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Thank you guys for joining us on this chilly Saturday morning in late January. And let's get to your calls. We're going to go to our resident groupie, Danny, next. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys. Listen, a couple weeks ago, I mounted that SD card, and Bob looked up on how to transfer my photos and things that I wanted to move over to increase my space.
Yeah.
And I could never find it in the archive, the link. Can you put that up again, Bob?
Yeah, if I can find it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you can't find it, then don't put it up.
Yeah, do his best.
Hey, yeah. Listen, real quick, you know, Mr. Musk is having trouble with the new administration.
What kind of trouble is he having?
Well, they had the Starship sitting on the pad ready to launch for the last 2 days in a row, and could not get FAA approval for the safety for the to launch through the in the what they call the range, which is that box that has to go up through for aircraft.
Yeah.
And for unexplained reasons, they wouldn't give him clearance.
Well, he did say take the red pill, didn't he?
He what?
He did say take the red pill, didn't he?
He did. And then the Justice Department's got a case against SpaceX in California for hiring practices because they didn't hire somebody that was not a U.S. citizen.
Oh, boy.
Even though they have a lot of non-citizens working for him, for some reason or other, they decided to sue him on this case, and the FCC is reviewing his licenses for his orbits.
Oh boy!
For the Starlinks,
yeah.
Because Mr. Bezos, who happens to be very friendly with Mr. Biden,
yeah, the blue pill, as it were,
He is going to put up a bunch of satellites eventually, he thinks. Mm. But by the time he does, Musk is going to have 3,000 or 4,000 up, and so, you know, it would sort of negate his plans.
Mm.
So they're
battling
the whip on him already.
Hey, man, live by the government, die by the government. I mean, he's taking a lot of subsidies, and his government overlords are saying, you know what, Mr. Musk, I want to start messing with you now.
You know, and some people are getting 2,000 megabits on the on the Starlink for their download speeds.
That's pretty darn quick.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Danny. Thanks for the update.
If you can find that,
we will. So yeah, Mr. Musk is having to deal with a new administration. What are you going to do? He also was involved with this whole GameStop thing. He just did a little quick tweet. I think he said "Game Stunk" or something like that, just to add more fuel to the frenzy. And he's got a lot of power to do that. Let's go to Kate. I'm sorry, Kay in Middletown. What's going on, Kay?
Hi. Good morning.
Thank you for
taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about a recommendation for a printer for my Chromebook.
All right.
So my Chromebook, I use it mostly for my financial accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was using the cloud to print to my my computer at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't do that anymore. And I tried connecting it directly to the printer that I have, which is an HP, but it's not printing for some reason. So I need an inexpensive black and white printer that I can use just to kind of print my financial documents.
Yeah, so Chromebook's a different operating system than Windows. You were using the Google Cloud Print. Is what you're trying to use? Yeah, ironic. You had to exit your network to print back to your local network. I think it actually did do that. I can put up there's a New York Times article about it, but I can try to find another one. I couldn't tell you what specific printer is Chrome friendly. It really comes down to if it's wireless and how it works wirelessly with your Chromebook. There's a lot of articles on this issue. I've got a Chromebook, too, that I don't even try to print from it because I've got better things to do than fight with Chrome. But it does cause issues. So we can put some ideas up here for you. But I would tell you to look for HP. That would be the brand I'd have you look for.
Okay.
And you could probably go to a local Staples or Best Buy and look to see which ones are Chrome capable. I don't know that there's a way for us to search that, Bob. Are you looking to try to find a Chrome capable printer?
Okay, yeah, let me change my search. I said how to print from a Chromebook.
Yeah, we've got that already up there posted. There's a Verge article on that, but I think you know how to do that. Right, Kay? You know how to print from a Chromebook, correct?
Yeah.
So she knows how to do it, but you just need a printer that'll do it. And your current printer stopped working?
It just didn't. It wasn't compatible. I tried to plug it directly into the printer, and it just, nothing happened.
Yeah. How old is that printer? Pretty old?
Fairly.
Yeah.
You know, my husband is in charge of buying those things, so I'm not exactly sure. Maybe three?
I've got it. I've got an article here that says 10 best printer for Chromebooks, and it lists 10.
All right, we'll find that for you.
So I would
tell you to angle toward HP, if they've got HP there, and if you can, angle toward Laser, if it's not too expensive.
Okay.
All right. I wish we had more off the top of our head. Go ahead, Kay.
Can I ask one other quick question?
Sure.
So I have an iPhone 7. I'm not big into the latest and the greatest. I keep getting these notifications for updating. Is it a good idea? Not a good idea?
You need to update. What version of iOS are you running? Do you know?
I think it's 11.
Oh. So I'm not sure if this issue, this big security hack, affected 11. But there's basically a major issue with iPhones and iPads being wide open and being used by hackers. And there's a patch that has to go out there. I would tell you that, yes, it's a good idea to update. I know you're a little timid about it because of some of the things that occur after you update an Apple device. Now, all of a sudden, they make the device, slow so that it saves the battery life and stuff like that. I don't blame you. Apple earned that on their own.
Right.
But you should always update your iOS to be more current. There are always problems that need to be corrected, and these updates generally produce less problems than more problems. So I tell you to update it generally. Right, Bob?
Okay.
Yep. So I found an HP Laser printer online, couple locations for under $130. It's a Laser Chromebook printer. HP.
Nice. Okay.
Wow, it knocked off all the boxes. Nice.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. It's on the website?
It's on computertalkwithtab.com. We'll put a link up there for you. It's the name of the show.com.
Okay. Cool.
All right, Kay.
All right. Thank you so much. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, I don't think we have much time left to take another call. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Matt for producing over back in Farmington. I can't wait to get back in the Farmington studio because doing this remotely it's worked, but it can be funky doing it all remotely. It's going to be good to see Matt's face at some point. Whenever that is, Bob and I have been doing this since the whole COVID thing started. I don't know, Bob, we're probably not 6 feet apart, but somehow we've survived. it's been an interesting ride for the past, I don't know how many months, and hopefully it's over soon. I want to thank Mike G for producing for posting everything out there for us. It's over on our Facebook page. If you like Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems the information worthy, it'll get into your news feed. And of course, we're over there on the stream over at WTIC's Facebook page, streaming live, so you can go ahead and if you've missed anything, you can watch it there. Radio.com's got everything podcasted, so it's all there for you guys. I want to thank you so much for listening to us this morning.
See you next week.